Is let's pray and then we go into the word. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for what you already have done, Lord, and what you are going to do, Lord. Quicken your word to us, Lord, that we may be able to hear it, we may be able to see it happening for us, and we may be able to appropriate everything that you have done for us. Lord, that we may not be confused by what's going on or the enemy, but we may be strong and stable and, Lord, incomplete victory, Lord, because this is your intention, this is your plan, this is your will, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about the battle that's going on around us. But it's not going on only around us. It's going on inside us too. And we have to understand that, what happens to us, it depends on how we deal with the battle inside. This is where that makes the difference. Okay. But Jesus, is the source of our victory. It's not our strength, our own personal strength. It's the strength that is imparted to us. And we have seen, in the last week, that he has delegated his authority to the believers. That means to us. If you are a believer, if you believe in him, that's what he has done for you. Okay, we have to understand the extent of that. We have to understand how to exercise authority. See, authority just doesn't, is abstract thing. Has to be exercised to be able to produce results. A policeman has authority, but if he doesn't come to you and say stop and talk to your face, you're not going to do anything and you're going to keep doing the same thing that you're doing before. It's the same thing when we exercise authority against the forces that are operating against us, against the situations that are operating against us, against everything. Sickness, disease, confusion, everything. We have to take a position, fear, everything. See, everything, we had to talk to it. You had to take a position against it. And we had to not move from that position. Because the very moment when you move from that position, you give them the right to operate and to take over. Okay? Don't go by the physical. And that's the problem. The most believers have, they are caught up, bound by the physical evidences that are not evidences at all. The physical things are temporary. The spiritual things are eternal. That means cannot be changed, cannot move, but the other one can. So let me just summarize some of the scriptures about really we had to come to realize and understand and appreciate and see the implication of what Jesus did. And if you go in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, there says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses." So that's it, being gone and finished. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. I think that the gain should be a bit down, the gain part, just very little. Having wiped out all the handwriting, that's better, of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So we have to understand that this is critical because there is a legalistic position that the enemy has and that God has to work by. And he has dealt everything that he had to do to just take these things out of the way. And says, that having disarmed principalities and powers, he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So the idea is, you see, this is the position we had to take. This is the things that we had to not move from. That means we had to be, you know, line up in agreement with what he has done, standing on what he has done, not what we do. Having the desire and the intention to line up with him all the time. Because it's in that position that we get the victory. In that position, the enemy is silenced. In that position, we know the power and the extent of the power, the authority that we have. The power comes after. But if we don't have the authority, if we don't have these things, all these potentate, all these powers, all these authorities that are in the enemy, you know, area, have been defeated and stripped of their power, stripped of their authority. Jesus took it back, what we had given before to them. And we had to understand that. And we had to not move on that position, no matter what accusation, but we had to deal with the accusation that the enemy brings against us. You know, if there is any thing true about it, we know what to do. See, even when we have messed up, we should not give up. I'm going to say it again because you have to remember that because this is so easy to do. See, we just look at ourselves and we messed up something and then, you know, we give up because the enemy is there talking, just there, you know, convincing us that we are failures when instead he is a failure. We can make mistakes. He makes two. So much for the fact. The point is, you know, it doesn't matter. The mistakes have been taken care of and provided us the way out from them. Jesus has demonstrated exactly what we had to do as long as we realize it's a mistake. And sometimes we fall into it without even knowing it because we are tricked into it. Anyway, let me go back there. Then we have to understand that everything, our position, the position we take, is not based on I am so good, I am so strong, I am so able. It's based on the fact that we put our faith in what he has done. And what he has done is more than enough for everybody, for every time. That means on the past and the present, and even in the future, as long as you recognize what's going on. You need to acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge the truth. Because it's the truth that sets you free, even if the truth is against you. Because Jesus provided a way to get out of that. And so we have, you know, and when we realize that the enemy is disarmed, is destroyed, and is made impotent, then we have to come to realize what it means for us. And we have to exercise what we have received as delegated by Jesus when he was, you know, giving us the Great Commission, or when he's giving us the command to go and conquer and overcome and win and change things in the world. Because that's God's choice. So we're going to see more of that. So we're going to Ephesians chapter 1, the prayer we started last week, and we're going to continue on that. And I suggested that you start reading it and start, You know, meditate on it and start applying it to yourself. Doesn't matter the way you do it. It's not the words that count. It's yet to get the concept, yet to get the logos. The letter kills. The spirit gives life. It's the concept, the logos, the idea behind it that you had to embrace, that you had to understand. So don't waste energy with the words. Just get the meaning. See the implications. Meditate on it. Let it become a reality to you. And there says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, we need wisdom. We don't need, you know, people think, oh, you know, I had to be keen. No, you had to need, I have wisdom. You can be keen, wrongly keen, and mess up your life. Hello, are you listening to me? Lots of people are really fanatic and clean, and they end up messing up completely everything because they don't understand what they're doing. We need to have the wisdom. Wisdom means that you know what to do given the situation. And this is not something that you get because of your reasoning. This is something you get because God reveals it to you. It comes from revelation. See, this is why it's praying for wisdom. We have to pray for wisdom, not just think about with your own thinking or going from people that don't even have the Lord to get advice from them. They don't have a clue of what to do most of the time. We need to receive wisdom from God, know what to do in our situation. And then we need, and that comes from revelation, that comes from the understanding that we get. And so what happens as the result of that wisdom, you know, in the knowledge of him, the knowledge, and there is epignosko, you know, the really has to do with understanding thoroughly, understanding deeply what's going on there. Not just the superficial stuff. And this is, you know, with gnoskos, it's actually real experience of what needs to be done. The eyes of your understanding. Okay. Now, the, you know, knowledge and understanding often assimilated the same thing, but here is not. You know, it says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So, you know, the light of the Holy Spirit makes us see things. Okay, but the word there is not just understanding with the mind, okay? The word is dianoia, which actually means the disposition of the heart and the mind, or your feelings and your thoughts, all those things combined together, okay? So that you may, the eyes, that you know, the way you see things, the way you perceive and judge things. We talked about what the heart does, the judgment to things. So the way you see and you perceive things with your heart, that is being enlightened. So you start to think and understand and see things the way God sees them. And your position, your attitude lines up with God. And you're not panicky. God doesn't panic ever. You know, if you have one of those things, fear, panic, and everything else, that doesn't come from God. No, you are off. There is something that needs to be shifted. And you shift that by connecting with the source, by connecting with God, until you find peace, until you find victory, until you find that your position, the way you see things, the way you perceive things, the way you react to things changes. And the more you feel the move in that area, and the more you will be going to feel full, filled with strength, with life, with joy, with all the fruit of the Spirit, with patience even, if you need to endure for a while. See, we need the wisdom. Sometimes we have an idea, and we think that with that is enough. No, our idea doesn't count. I mean, you can believe in healing, but then you never get it. And then you wonder why it doesn't work. Well, there could be many different reasons. Mostly, the reason that it doesn't happen if you are in obedience to God, is that you, there are things you don't understand, you don't know, and you mess it up. Your thinking is wrong. Your thinking needs to be corrected. And sometimes it's just a little thing that you when you figure it out, say, well, what was that? Big deal. The enemy, any little things, makes a big deal. He's a tricky lawyer. You get a good lawyer, then you know it's very difficult to get around them because they know all the loopholes. Well, he knows all the loopholes because I've seen them for thousands of years. Everybody else has the same thing, and he knows exactly what to do. You are there, newbie, you know, green there, and try to fight with somebody. No, you can't fight that way. You have to fight with the wisdom that comes from God, revelation. And he gives you the place, the button to push. Even if it's small, that can make all the difference. Let's go back here. Okay, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Okay, so that's the position that you have, the disposition of the mind and the heart. That you may know, again, you know, there is gnosko, you know, experientially, what is the hope of his calling? What is calling you to do? What is the things that we can expect? What are the riches of the glory or the inheritance in the saints? The inheritance is what passed on to us, not because we are any special, it's because he is our Father. That's all. You know, inheritance is received not because the person has done something. He just was born there. And this is what we get, so that when we got it, we really have done nothing after all. You know, he has done everything for us. But we have to come to the understanding of what is, are the riches and the glory. See, that's where the glory is manifested, in the inheritance that we receive. It's glory. Hallelujah. And what is the exceeding greatness, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? And the word there, power, is dunamis, which actually means supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, toward us who believe. So the power of the Holy Spirit working toward us, working in us, working through us, you know, is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. It's not natural. It's not just, you know, power that comes from doing things. It just does things supernaturally, beyond nature abilities, beyond our abilities. According to the working of his mighty power. Now it says power another time, but this is English. You know, in Greek it's not the same word. It's not anymore dunamis, here is kratos. And kratos means strength, force. So this is coming, you know, this is powerful from the point of view of the great power, the strength that he has that is beyond anything that we can think. Not just spiritual, something spiritual that we can see. No, this is actually manifested in the physical. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and has seated and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So you see, there are two things that took place. First of all, you know, you say, oh my goodness, you know, somebody was already decomposed 3 days or whatever. The thing is, this wasn't because, you know, I just came up, was better than you. Okay? So that's the first things. That wasn't the biggest thing. Because others have been raised from the dead, you know, not to the degree that Jesus had, but there are going to be many others that are going to be raised from the dead when he comes the second time. And the one that are not, you're going to be transformed anyway. So that's what's going to happen. But the point is, you know, that's big already. That's beyond anything that we can do. So, but that he then did really the other things. He seated at the right hand of the Father. So, you know, he's actually been elevated to the place that is above everything. That's the biggest victory that anybody ever got against any other thing. There is nothing above him. And he, that's the authority that he's talking about that he has passed on to us. If we just grasp on that idea and start believing it, you know, there is no mountain before us that can do anything that cannot collapse. They cannot move if we didn't move. Okay? So that's the thing, that's the place. So, you know, this is the thing why we can be unmovable. We can be unchanged. We can be not affected by anything that goes around us. Physically, health-wise, worldly-wise, anything, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we are stable inside, if we are not moving. If you are moving, that means, you know, there's something you have to do, so to put you in a place in which you are not moving anymore. And you should be able to see that, and you shouldn't give up before when you realize that this is happening. Oh, poor little me. No, that's the way to stop right away and say, no, I'm missing here. I had to change something, and you had to go to the source that gives you the power to do it. You know, and that is the revelation and understanding, the word and everything else. We are going to see more about that. Are you still with me? Okay. So, praise the Lord. It doesn't stop there. See, first he's telling about all these things, and then he goes on expanding on this idea and says, you know, okay, now, verse 22, he put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church. So you see, he's spreading his authority to the church. I mean, the church is not just the church, the physical church, because the physical church has no power. It's not the denominational church, because the denominational doesn't count. The church is the spiritual entity that was created of all the believers that believe the way what he has done and follows him and obey him and appropriate and they become children of God and are willing to line themselves up with him. Their will becomes his will. Okay? So this is the church is talking about here. Not the denomination, the thing, the title, the building, whatever it is that you want to do, or the organization or the corporation or whatever it is, or Asian. You know, there is no Asian here, no nation. It's the situation that actually, you know, has transformed us into his body. Okay. That's the word that comes after. First Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So that is not the physical church, is not the organizational church, is the his body. Okay, is the church that Jesus built, the one the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. See, if the gate of hell shall not prevail against, what does it mean? That is, cannot, you know, they can protect themselves from the attack of the devil? The devil? No. Means, you know, we can go there and pull people out. They can stop us. That's God's plan, that God's objective, and that's what we have empowered to do if we use the proper tools, the proper weapons. Okay, so we have to understand clearly God's intention. Let me see how much time I have here. All right, God's intention. is the key thing. And God's intention is given as simply in the scripture that everybody knows, but we have to remember, but not just this, that scripture, the one, all the scripture that comes after. Says John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. Doesn't say God so loved the believers. Hello? You know, we have been all there. We were part of the world, weren't we? Hopefully we are not part anymore. And if you are still part, we can get you out of there very quickly. Okay, but let's not go there at the moment. But let's go, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, whoever in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son, and this is the thing you have to remember, into the world to condemn the world. And we are the son, everybody else that works for him. But that the world, through him, may be saved. So the objective, God's intention, God's desire is to save everybody. Okay? But he is not going to do it against their will. He cannot do it against their will. The only thing is required is their will to be saved. And change their will according to his will. That means to save themselves so that, you know, he can save you rather than save themselves. Okay? So, and then goes on, verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So they are already marked up, the one who don't believe, okay? Because he has not believed in the name of his only begotten Son of God. So the idea is, you know, the understanding the name is not the name, the idea is the name is, you know, what he stands for, what he has done, you know, what he is. And believing what he has done is the critical thing. And we have to believe in what he has done and accept it and receive it for ourselves. Okay? So, but who doesn't accept that is condemned already. So you see, if somebody doesn't know anything, how can you condemn them? They don't even know any better. If nobody tells them, how can they be condemned? Okay? They're just bound by the enemy and they're going to stay there. Okay? So they're not condemned. Anybody that doesn't know, but the problem is people reject the knowledge. And it says it very clearly. And this is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world. I mean, the light is the understanding that we'll be able to see it. Okay? And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the idea is simple. Okay? The condemnation is the condemn that they have. What the world has, condemnation is that they reject what Jesus has done, they prefer, they may have seen the light, but they reject the light because they like the darkness. They want to stay where they are. They want to do the things they've been doing, and they don't want to be changed. And that's the condemnation. You know, God's power is strong to set people free, even if they're nowhere, anywhere. You know, they just don't understand much. As long as they are willing to accept what he has done for them. All the same. Okay. Because they love darkness. Because their deeds were evil. You know, love they prefer, they value more to do the things that they were doing. Okay. Let me give you an example here to go a bit on the side. You know, the people that are, you know, receive Jesus. Says he made them alive in Christ. So they're alive. You're alive if you believe, accepted Jesus. The one that are not received Jesus, they are the one in the world that accepted, are walking dead. You know this show in the, in, in TV. I never watched any of the shows, so I'm going to, but the Lord gave me that word, you know, to so that you can connect some ideas, the meaning of what God wants to do. See, so there are these two in the world today. There are the people that are alive, and there are the walking dead. Okay? The walking dead, first of all, they don't know that they are dead. Okay, or they refuse to believe that they are dead, and they don't want to have the light because otherwise they can be healed. The only thing they have to do is to want to be healed. Our job, the ones that are alive, is to give light to them so that they can see and they have a choice to make. If they make the choice in the right direction, then they become alive too, and they get healed. But the problem, you have to be careful, because they're infectious. And if you get too close and you don't know what you are doing, you get infected and you get dead too, like they are, and you become a walking dead too. Hello? So you see, we have a double work that we had to do. One of the part is to understand and defend ourselves against the infection that the world brings to us. And the enemy is specialized in bringing infections. And at the same time, our mission, the why we are here, is to spread the light and to get them healed and to get them alive. And this is the things we had to understand to do, be willing to do. And this is where we are doing the will of God. This is why he sent us here, the same as sent Jesus. See, Jesus died for us. But he was never a walking dead. See, he's talking about spiritual things here, not physical things. Okay? But he was raised from the dead. And the way he was raised from the dead, we have been raised from the dead. And our job is to raise from the dead as many as we can. Okay. Now, we have to understand one thing. Okay. The enemy doesn't play fair. Okay. He's tricky. He's a deceiver. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, you know, no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself as an angel of light. You see, he wants to show the things, but it's not true. You know, the truth is that he comes only but to kill and steal and destroy. So we have to understand that we cannot trust people that even seem, may look like angel of light. Because we have to be able to discern what really is going on, if they're alive or dead. Okay? So, and this is why, okay, one of the more, it's very easy to see when somebody does something that's really bad and sinful and whatever. If you go around killing somebody, anybody know that you're not doing the right thing. Do you agree? Okay, good. But, when people come to you as an angel of light, they don't come to you with a gun. They come to you with the word. And then becomes very difficult, unless you have understanding, to pick out the what happens, what they do, how you use the word. And the enemy used the word from the very beginning. That's how he tricked Adam and Eve. He used the word. He changed one word there, and everything messed up. And look at the mess that came out, just for one word. Okay? So he specialized. You know, the only thing today, there are so many different interpretations. So many different, way the translation, so many different things that contradict one with another. Where is that coming from? Who is doing that kind of work? Okay? If that can happen for ignorance, because a lot of time people read stuff and they don't know what they're doing, and they, you know, they interpret things literally when they're spiritual, when they interpret things that are spiritual instead they're literally, so, you know, end up being a mess. And so people is going to be confused and scattered and messed up, and they all think that even maybe that they are going right because they're going to go to according to the scripture so that they understand. Are you listening to me? Okay, so that's one of the way. Some people do the interpretation that way because of ignorance or because of they are not, you know, don't understand. Other ones, they do it because they know that if they say that way, people are going to be following them, and that's what they want. Okay, that's one thing. For example, today, one thing that is going really on because of the world the way it is, prophecies, Bible prophecies. I mean, there are so many, there have been, you know, so much confusion coming out of Bible prophecy. How they come the confusion? Well, you know, how many times the people determine a date in which Jesus was coming back and the boy didn't come? How many people, they were appointed, you know, they were recognized, and people, you know, well-known minister went around, this is the Antichrist, is coming up, and it wasn't Antichrist at all. I mean, all that, what does it do? Confusion contributes to the fact that people say, well, the Bible is a bunch of baloney and everything else. It produces just exactly what the devil wants. Are you still with me? So you see, pre-rapture, post-rapture, who cares? The point is, the fact is that this becomes an element of contention and there is nothing resolved about. And you can change the people's mind anyway. Okay. Another thing. I'm just showing the way the devil uses scripture to bring people into confusion and messing them up instead of helping them. I could have many other examples, but I'll give you only another one that is general. Today there is so much emphasis on anything that happens on the news to connect it to the scriptures. Oh, this and the other. And keep the attention of believers on all this stuff that is worse than listening to the news on TV. Because the emphasis is only negative, never positive. So are they helping people or are they putting them down on the drain? Hello? So the idea is that we have to understand, okay, if people come with something negative and doesn't have a solution for it, they should shut up. Because the Bible has always solutions. God has always a solution. So don't be, okay, if after you are, and that, let's go personal, on a personal basis. You know, if after you go to the scriptures and you read some part of the Bible, okay, and at the end of the reading of the Bible, instead of being energized, instead of being built up, instead of being ministered to, you feel depressed, down, and confused about what's going on, I'll tell you, there's something wrong with you. Your thinking is wrong. Your attitude is wrong. That should be corrected. You should correct yourself and change your attitude to be able to get what God is actually saying to you. See, God tells everything in the Bible. But your attitude and your approach are determining the results you're going to get. Are you following me? Okay, God, first of all, God wants to save everybody, doesn't he? He doesn't want to make you depressed. Depression doesn't save you, does it? The Holy Spirit doesn't make you going around feeling guilty. The Holy Spirit convicts you so that you repent. Hello? It's the enemy that's accusing you. You bad, evil, and pile up all there, all the junk there. All right? So we have to understand who are we listening to, what are we opening our ear to, what the enemy is using the word to put you down. Is the truth that we see, and sometimes and the truth, you know, hurts. The point is, if you are the right attitude, the truth never hurts. The truth straightens you up and heal you. Okay? So there is has to do with you, not with God. Okay. Now, when you go to the scripture, when you go to the Lord, when you go and pray, you should be strengthened, you should be empowered, you should be built up. And when there is not, then you have an indication that there is something you have to work on, which is your attitude. I give you an example. I mean, God doesn't change, Old Testament and New Testament. God is always being the same. God always wants to bless people. And when I even at the beginning, and I can use the Old Testament because it doesn't make any difference. I can use scripture on the New Testament, but those are quite evident and everybody knows them. You know, when in Deuteronomy, God was speaking to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, you know, Deuteronomy 28:1 says, you know, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and to observe carefully in his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. When it talks about nations, you know, really, forget about the nation component. Okay, the word there is goy anyway, which means, the people of the earth, the group of people on the earth. Okay, now, and all these things, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will make you, and I'm just jumping a few verses because I'm not going to read the whole thing, otherwise we're going to be here for a long time. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. He shall put you above and not below, and not beneath. And you eat, if you eat the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful in observing them. You know, now, if you really continue reading, it says, and all these curses that come upon you and everything else. And so, depending on the way, your attitude, you're going to take either the curses or the blessing applying to you. Well, depends on you. If you, God is not trying to, is doing that to you. You do that to yourself. This is the natural law, the way they function things. Okay? God doesn't kill you if you jump off the roof. You kill yourself. All right? I mean, God established the law of gravity. You break the law of gravity, and you gravitate your neck out there. You know, you mess up yourself. Don't blame God for that. People blame God instead of, the fact that God informs us before so that we know what to choose. And he says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, well, number one, you have to be connected with him. If you don't hear the voice, you are not going to be able to do the things that he tells you to do. Can you? So you have to be willing. I mean, you have to be always lined up with him. And if you are lined up with him, there is nothing to worry about. The only thing he's going to do, being the curses, is motivate you even more to really do the right thing because you know that it's a lot better. And this applies to groups like church, the church in general, and applies also to individual. You can have many scriptures like Jeremiah 29:11. Okay? I know the thought that I have for you, about you, toward you. Thought or plans, whatever. For peace, not evil. This is God's intention. This is what I was reading, John 3:16 and following. The same thing. Okay? To give you a future and a hope. Then, and say, okay, well, what about if... it's interesting that this scripture was written when they were in captivity. So, I mean, you know, God wants to bless you. There is the prophet says, he wants to bless you. And these people are in captivity, you know, complaining with God that they are, you know, in captivity. I mean, that sounds pretty, you know, it's very interesting. Because, but yeah, you know, people read only one scripture, don't read all the one after it. You know, that applies to anybody that needs some breakthrough. Because it says, and then you will call upon me. You see, I mean, they had to call upon me and him to be able and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Yeah. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So there it is, you know, that's the way God shows us, tells us, okay, that he wants to bless us. He wants to minister to us. And he has provided everything that we need in terms of information, but we have to be smart enough not to be confused by the physical and by the appearances and what, you know, people say. We have to be able to go to the Lord, have a personal relationship with him, and see when we go there, when we receive things, that is going to lift us up, that is going to give us strength, that is going to change the situation, maybe not immediately, but it's going to take time to get there, but it's going to guide us into the place in which we have victory, and we know much more than the Old Testament now. Are you still with me? So I think I have to close for now. Okay, we're going to go deeper next week. Okay, but now let's pray. Let's pray that we connect with him, that we learn, okay, the power and the authority that we have, that we get revelation and understanding about what God has provided for us. So that we can actually grow into the people that you want us to be. Okay? Not his children, his sons. So there's a big difference between a child that can't do anything. You have to change his diaper. You have to tell, don't touch that. Don't do that. Some Christians are at that level. Even after many years of being walking with the Lord. Or the mature son that actually are in the business of the father and doing the same thing because they're willed, they're trained, they're grown, they have the understanding, they can do the things that God wants them to do, and they don't need to be there, be corrected all the time because they hear a voice and do what he says so that they get the blessings and they can be above and not below. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you make available to us. Thank you that we know that you love us, that you care for us, that you want to save us, that you want to give us victory. And that victory was already won by Jesus. We have it because he won that battle with the enemy. The enemy is defeated. Let us not be confused by the story or the images that he can try to put in our head. We are victorious with Jesus because the word says that we were lifted up with him in heavenly places. And so right now, Lord, we can exercise the same authority, the same power, the same anointing, the same dunamis that he had. In Jesus' name, we can speak and command the mountains to be removed and praise you for the victory that is coming. Let us not be doubt. Let us be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let us understand that as we are stable in our position and we take that position, nobody can move us. And the victory will manifest in our life. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.